We have been outcasts for as long as any of us could remember. One by one, we banded together. No one else was allowed to be near us, so we became a group ourselves, our own family of sorts, living by whatever means we could find. We scavenged for food, mostly gathering what we could from the edges of fields while no one was nearby. Occasionally, a good-hearted soul would leave a loaf of bread or a piece of meat on the way, but mostly people stayed very far away, more even than the required 40 feet. If we were not invisible, it sure seemed as though we were. People passed without even looking in our direction, as if the sight of our leprous skin could transfer the disease onto them. Not only had we lost all human touch, we had even lost eye contact. We could never look into another's soul. To keep from going crazy from the lack of human contact, we came together, a band of lepers, a family of outcasts. At least this way, we could share the burden of our situation and perhaps lighten the load that we each had to bear. To be cured, to be healed, to be restored was the dream of each of us. At night, we shared stories of what life had been like prior to the infliction of this horrible disease. One was a merchant who sold fine linen. He had a wife and three children that he hadn't seen in several years. He wondered constantly about their life, what it was like. Had his family provided well for his wife and children in his absence? Or did his disease become their pariah as well? Were his children studying their lessons, going to temple, helping their mother? And what had become of her? Not a widow, not divorced, a woman in limbo, no husband to support her, but still bound by the marital covenant. Others had similar tales of days gone by, when days when life seemed, by all standards, normal. They questioned how they became infected, what they had done to deserve such punishment by God. No one could remember a single event that so dramatically changed his life. No one remembered coming in contact with a leper before now. Each of them going about his business, living his life day to day without much notice until everything had been taken away. Now we live on the edge of the world, in the fringes, alive and dead at the same time. From time to time, a healer would pass by, a holy man or snake oil salesman. Most of the time, they passed on the other side of the road, as far removed as they could possibly be. Our shouts for help fell on deaf ears, and even if someone bothered to hear us, they offered no help, no hope. Still, we persisted, please, somebody, do something, come to our aid, heal us of this disease that cripples us body, mind, and soul. One day, a group appeared in the distance. They were talking as they went. Actually, one was talking as the others listened intently. There was something different about the one talking. I can't tell you what it was exactly, but as the group came closer into view, we felt a glimmer of hope. We yelled with all our might for mercy. One in the group knew the name of the man. I don't know how he knew his name, but he did. He cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We all joined in the cry with all our might. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. As my voice became louder, my hope became stronger, and I felt myself believing that this man, this Jesus, could heal me. He didn't look away. His eyes didn't stare at the ground as if we were not there. He saw us. He looked into our eyes. The look pierced my very soul. He knew me in a way that I had not been known in a very long time. It was as though he had known every minute of my life and even before. What he said was odd. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Still covered by the white ashiness of disease, still seemingly unclean by all outward appearances, we began to run in the direction of the town, and as we ran, our skin was restored to health. We ran as fast as we could, all the while imagining returning to our old lives, lives just like everyone else's, lives with families and jobs, lives with routine and monotony, lives in which people looked into our eyes as they spoke, as they actually spoke to us. I imagine conversations that didn't revolve around leprosy, that involved family and community. A huge grin broke out on my face as I ran. I didn't even notice that I was almost out of breath. It had been so long since I had run. It had been so long since I had something to hope for. It had been so long since I had been happy and whole and healed. When we arrived at the doors of the temple, we noticed that one of us was missing. He was a Samaritan, an outcast among outcasts. Perhaps he didn't want to present himself to the priest. He wasn't one of us anyway. Who knew where he went? Maybe he just went home. He didn't need to be accepted by a priest. He couldn't be returned to a religious community that he never belonged to in the first place. But he didn't go home, this Samaritan, this other. He had started off with the others. He had begun the race to the temple, but as he ran, he realized with deep realization that this was something much bigger than being cured of leprosy, as big as that was. There was something more to this. This was of God, and he could be made fully whole. He turned and ran back to Jesus, praising God all the way. Jesus had not left. He was still there talking with his companions when the man came to him. This man fell at his feet, thanking him, thanking God. Jesus said to his friends, "Look at this. 10 lepers were healed, and this one, this Samaritan, this other is the one who returned to give thanks to God." Then he told him, "Get up, get going. Your faith has made you well. You get it. You understand. You believe. Now get going and spread the news. No longer will you spread disease. You will now spread faith." We still have lepers in our world. Those who live in fringes, who go unnoticed or overlooked. We still have those who are other, that we wish would disappear. We still are in need of healing and of being restored. Whether we are lepers or those who don't notice, those who keep going without paying attention, without taking time to give thanks. We have so very much to be thankful for. We have been made whole. We have been restored. We have been given grace upon grace. Do we stop and take time to thank God to praise God, to notice all that has been done for us, or do we keep running? Turn around. Go back. Slow down. And look in the face of Jesus, the face of God, and give thanks. Amen.